Friends, in Advent, we celebrate love. There are four traditional themes associated with the Advent season: hope, peace, joy, and love. Now, these themes of Advent have a dual significance for us. On the one hand, they're characteristic of the coming event that we're about to celebrate, because the birth of Christ represented hope, peace, joy, and love. But these themes also go deeper than that, because they represent the impact that the birth of Christ is intended to have on human lives and human attitudes. They are aspects of our lives that are enhanced as a consequence of the birth we celebrate. Now, sometimes we struggle with these terms a little bit. And love seems like such an obvious thing, and yet, in the English language, as we commonly speak it, we use the word love for everything. Really. We talk about having love for God and love for one another. We might also say, I love ice cream. And we do so with perfect understanding in a way, but also acknowledging that we're not meaning quite the same depth of commitment in each case, certainly in the last one. And there are other words in the English language that we might substitute for love in some of those contexts, but generally speaking, we overuse and the word love and do so rather indiscriminately without much risk of being misunderstood, though there are possibilities for misunderstanding. You know, if I was to walk up to some casual acquaintance and say, I love you, that might engender in them a response that I hadn't particularly intended. Because there is a sense in which, you see, we are called to love one another in Christian community. And yet we also understand that that differentiates love from some more intimate relationships on a human level in our lives. In any case, that wasn't quite the complexity in the Greek language. They quite routinely used differing words for love. And that love that was attributed to God was generally spoken of with one term and in some of our human relationships with another. So there wasn't any real confusion. But on the other hand, I don't think we're terribly confused by our generic use of the word love, not in most circumstances anyway. Now, in this story that we celebrate, the story of the birth of Christ, there is a genuine depiction of human love. And let's start there. I mean, Joseph had love for Mary. And Mary had love for Joseph. And both of them had love for this child that God had blessed them with. And, of course, both of them had love and trust in God, for God was leading them on a strange journey. It had unusual beginnings and was to have heart-rending conclusions. But they had love for God, and they trusted and accepted and followed. And that was all the expression of human love, or love that humans are capable of expressing. Now, in this account of the birth of Christ, there is also an opening to us of the character of God's love, divine love. You see, what we celebrate is the love that motivated God to send a Messiah, to fulfill the promise that he'd made long before to his people, to bless them with a Redeemer who would bring hope and life to them. And we cannot look at the scene of what was happening in Bethlehem without seeing both the human love that was reflected there and the divine love that was being expressed. This love was a demonstration of God's love for his people. And, you know, it wasn't just that God was fulfilling a promise. God didn't send his son just because he had promised, feeling some obligation to do so, having promised that. He did it out of compassion and a desire for the health and healing of his people. Now, we have all given gifts out of obligation. Think about it. Maybe not most of the gifts that we give in life, but there are always times when it seems appropriate to give someone a gift. Not because we are necessarily deeply motivated to do so, but because it seems like the expected thing and perhaps even the appropriate thing. But we do it more out of obligation than compassion and care. But that was not God's way. God was not sending his son because of promises made long ago. His promises were based on his love for his people, as was the fulfillment of those promises. And this love that God was expressing in the sending of his son Jesus Christ was a love that was intended to transform our human capacity to understand love and to transform our human capacity to give and to receive love. It becomes, you see, the touchstone for us of what love is all about, as God sent his son. And this love was not only to be recognized and celebrated, but this love that God was expressing in the sending of his Son was intended to transform lives, to make things different as a consequence. And God's love for us has that capacity to make our lives more loving, more caring, more compassionate. Because we, as benefactors of God's gift, are deeply touched and changed as a consequence. And then our way of thinking, our way of responding to others, our way of looking at life is transformed as a consequence. And there's another side to it, of course, an extension of that. Because not only was God's love in the sending of his Son intended to transform our lives, it was intended that we should be a channel by which that action of God in the sending of his Son should be shared in the world. That other lives in following generations could also be impacted by what he had done. Because, you see, if that was not the case, we wouldn't be here a couple of thousand years later celebrating these things. It's because God's love in Christ changed lives. And that change was shared because it was reflected both in the attitudes of those who were touched by it and in the way they spoke of God's grace and what they shared with those who followed after them. And we're here because people heard and rejoiced and passed it on. And then, of course, we're not intended to be the end of the line. The Lord's intention is that as he gives us life and breath, that we, too, rejoice in what he has done. We celebrate it together. We regard it as something extremely special, unique. And then, having been deeply touched by what the Lord has done, we rejoice to share it with others, in word and in action. And perhaps most significantly, in our attitudes. We are to be motivated by the love and beauty of these events we celebrate. We are intended, as we once again return to that scene in Bethlehem and ponder it and wonder about it and allow our imaginations to speculate about the details. We are, as a consequence, to grasp more deeply a vision of God's love for us and his love for the world. And to share what we have received. So let our celebration of Christmas once again reflect the love of God in the gift of his Son, and may it be shared in the world. This is good news. Celebrate it. Thanks be to God. Amen.